We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you guide us now as we meditate upon another section of the Word which you've given us for the salvation of our souls. And we pray that you open the meaning of Scripture to us as only you can do, and strengthen our faith in our Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge of Him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Acts chapter 16, verses 11 through 15, a certain woman. So we'll read through the text and then go back and make some comments on it. But we're starting here with verse 11 then. Therefore, loosing from Troas, and remember the cities here that are mentioned, this is interesting, we came with a straight course to Samothraca, and I'm not sure I pronounced that right, and the next day to Neapoli, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. Wonder what they did. On the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman, I wonder who she was. Well, here the Holy Spirit names her. A certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Context is always very important. And we have here an account of a certain woman named Thyatira. We know very little about her. She's mentioned only here in this chapter of Scripture. Also in verse 40, and they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia, and when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. So that's basically it. Two little mentions of Lydia. And yet the cupboard is not bare. Far from it. You consider the context. Paul and his fellow missionaries had been given a call by the Holy Spirit to go to Macedonia to spread the gospel. Before that, they wanted to go to Asia, and the Holy Spirit said no. Then they decided to go to Bithynia, and the Holy Spirit said no. And then Paul had that vision to go to Macedonia. So they did. They obeyed it. So we have an account of different cities which they passed through in order to get there. And some of these cities probably were quite large cities and important ones. One was even hard to pronounce. But it's one city after another they went through. And then, surprise, surprise, the Holy Spirit took them to the banks of a river. A river bank. And there on the river bank, we see a certain woman named Lydia. Can't help but think of the night that Jesus was born. And it was in Bethlehem, which was only a bow shot from Jerusalem. But he wasn't born in Jerusalem, he was born in Bethlehem, and hardly anybody knew it. Joseph knew it, Mary knew it, and a little flock of shepherds knew it. keeping watch over their flock by night, but that was it. So now we're down on the banks of a river. And the truth of the matter is that some very important things take place in the waters of a river on the riverbanks. So to do a little word study, and we're going to do quite a bit of it, of things that happened on the banks of a river. Here we have an account of this certain woman named Lydia, and that's about all we know about her, except she was down there by the banks of the river. And in Genesis 2, verse 10, which is what we would expect, these things a lot of times have their seedbed in the very open chapters of Genesis, Genesis 2, verse 10, and a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from thence it was parted and became into four heads. And some important things happened, as you know, in the Garden of Eden. Genesis 41, verse 1 and following, and it came to pass at the end of two full years that Pharaoh dreamed a dream. What was in the dream? And behold, he stood by the river. Wonder why he was standing by the river in that dream. Well, they worshipped the Nile River down in Egypt. And behold, there came up out of the river seven well-favored kine and fat-fleshed, and they fed in the meadow. And behold, seven other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And you know what happened after that. But this was a very important dream, and it took place down at the banks of a river in the dream that Pharaoh had. So Exodus 1, verse 22. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. And then, a short time later, a matter of a couple months, Moses was placed in an ark of bulrushes and placed in the banks of the river. Some important things are happening on riverbanks. Judges chapter 5, verse 21, the river of Kishon swept them away, that ancient river, the river Kishon. O my soul, thou hast trodden down strength. A great victory was given to God's people, and it was by the river Kishon, which was an ancient river. Very important. Ezra 8, verse 21, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek him a right away for us and for our little ones and for our substance. So there it was a place of repentance, and it was on the banks of a river. Psalm 1, verse 3, picture of an elect child of God. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall also wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So here, the believer is planted by the rivers of water like a tree and brings forth fruit, which is exactly what Lydia did. She brought forth a lot of fruit. Psalm 65, verse 9, thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God. That's interesting. Which is full of water. Water throughout Scripture is a type of the Word of God. And here you have the river of God, which is filled with water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. So it's connected with something to eat. Takes us out into the farm again. Psalm 137, beginning at verse 1. By the rivers of Babylon. Well, what happened at the rivers of Babylon? There we sat down. They're sitting down by the banks of the rivers of Babylon. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required us mirth. Be happy about this, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Sticking the needle in. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. So they're sitting on the banks of the river of Babylon, and the willow harps, the harps are hung on the willows. They can't sing anymore. They're not happy. They're depressed. But they remember Jerusalem. Isaiah 43, verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, there we are again, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Well, we've all walked through our own rivers, trials and tribulations. That's part of our calling, and rivers are an important part of it. Jeremiah 7, verse 8, for he shall be as a tree. It's parallel, isn't it? He shall, with Psalm 1, verse 3, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. So many times rivers are mentioned. Ezekiel 1 verse 1, how it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, I was among the captives by the river of Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. Then Ezekiel 3, verse 23, then I arose and went forth unto the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there as the glory which I saw by the river of Chebar, and I fell upon my face. Ezekiel 47, verse 12, and by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary. And the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. Mark chapter 1, verse 5. Following 4 years of silence, or maybe more than that, but anyway, it's four or 40, I forget which, but it was a long time, and God had not spoken to the people, and when he finally broke the silence and did speak, from where did he speak? Oh, it must have been from the temple in Jerusalem. No. Mark 1, verse 5, and there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and they were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. So it's out in the boonies again, on the banks of the river. This is so like how God does things. And then the book of Revelation 22, verse 1, And he showed me a pure river of waters of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life. We had the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. Remember that? Way back in Genesis. And some cherubim were placed there with flaming swords to keep people away. Now here it is again in the last chapter of Revelation, a complete circle. And it was a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of that tree for the healing of the nations. Okay, so we get back to the text. There was a certain woman named Lydia, and she was at a prayer meeting on the banks of a river. And think of what it means, a river. And she was converted on the banks of a river. And she brought forth fruit. But it all happened not in the temple at Jerusalem, on the banks of the river. And she was a seller of purple. Well, purple was a well-known expensive cloth, we're told, in Thyatira. And she was a seller of it. Translation, she was a very wealthy woman. A very wealthy woman. And a few examples again of purple. 48 hits, if we're counting correctly, 26 of them in Exodus. And Exodus talks about the temple and the purple and all that sort of thing. It's purple is a color of royalty. And she was a seller of purple. Okay. Esther 8, verse 15. Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, and with a great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple. He was greatly elevated by the king. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. Proverbs 31 talks about a virtuous woman. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. You don't find many like that. They're a product of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things mentioned in Proverbs 31, verse 22 is this. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. A royal color. She's a virtuous woman. Song of Songs, he made the pillars thereof of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it of purple, in the midst thereof being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. Song of Songs is a love poem between Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. And he wrote many, many, many songs, over 1,000 of them. But this one is the cream of the crop. It's the Song of Songs. And purple is mentioned. Verse 7, chapter 7, or verse 7, verse 5, thine head upon thee. Now she's talking about her husband. Thine head upon thee is like Carmel. That's a mountain which is beautiful. And the hair of thine head like purple. That's interesting. The king is held in the galleries. when we think of purple, we can't help but think of the account in Luke chapter 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. We know that story very, very well. And there was a beggar named Lazarus that laid at his gate, craving some crumbs that fell from the rich man's table, but he didn't even get that. So we know the story about that, and how the rich man finally craved a drop of water, which he never had. John chapter 19. And anyway, we can't help here but think of the Song of Songs, 7 verse 5, thine head upon thee is like caramel, the hair of thine head like purple. Well, here's John chapter 19, verse 2. The soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, royalty. He said he's a king, he should be dressed like one. He said he's a king, he should have a crown. So they made one. Mockery. John 19:5. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, behold the man. We would expect to find something about this in Revelation, and we're not surprised. Revelation 18, verse 12, the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple. Notice what it's associated with, and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble. So, purple has a lot of really good connotations. Revelation 18:16 saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. It was the capital of the devil, and it went down. In one day, it went down. So, we get back to this text again, which talks about a certain woman. And when the Holy Spirit uses this terminology, it's always very important one way or the other. It's such a shame that so many of the modern translations don't even translate it. It's a crying shame. But the Holy Spirit, but here we have it. There was a certain woman whose name was given right there, Lydia. And she is noted as the first convert in Europe that Paul had. And it was down by the riverbank. And she used her great wealth to serve Paul and the other missionaries with him. And she pleaded with them to come into her house. I'll be glad to share that with you. And it was Saul's headquarters as long as he was in that area. And it happened down on the banks of a river where there was a certain woman named Lydia, mentioned only here in the whole Bible.